Instead, they took him off and said, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. That's an amazing thing, because you can accomplish things on a 1-to-1 or a 1-to-3 or a 1-to-12 basis that you cannot get done anywhere else. Let me point out that again. I want to remind you again. I'm saying a lot of stuff and I'm alluding to a lot of stuff. Most of it's cleared up in this book. So if you want to know more, if you just want to learn one thing, you always just go stand at Jim's book table and read the parts you want, and you don't have to buy the book. For instance, if you want to know, if you're worried about, well, if you get a group together, though, you're going to get in trouble because things are going to happen bad. People are going to argue. If you want to know how to stop an argument, turn it into a discussion, you just pick it up and read page 50, 51, and 52, and then go on your way rejoicing. You save $3 because it's all right there. There's a four-step procedure that always works. Did you hear what I said? Always works. It will turn an argument into a discussion. Remember, an argument is a hot discussion, and a discussion is a cool argument. You've got to slow things down. You've got to make things easy. You've got to get warm and intimate as small groups can do. And when you get in that setting, you can do things that are unbelievable. Now, can you do it the first week? Probably not. Can you do it the first month? Maybe not. Can you do it if you keep practicing? Yes, you can. Whether you're talented or not, you can learn how to do it. And when you do that, you begin to see people just grow right before your eyes. And that's a thrilling thing. Now, I want to go on to... I want to draw a conclusion here. There are two conclusions. One, we have no choice of if you have small groups in your church. You have no choice. You will have small groups, and in fact, you do have small groups. You say, no, we don't have small groups. All of ours are lecture class. You still have small groups. As soon as the amen is said or the teacher says the last word in class, you're automatically in small groups. Everybody stands up, breaks, and starts talking to each other. That's a small group. The person who wouldn't say a word inside the room, as soon as they hit the hallway, say, what did you think about that? Did you agree with that? No, I sure didn't. Here's what I... People say, I don't like discussion. I said, yes, you do. You just don't like to do it certain places. In the hallway, everybody loves discussion. Then they go to lunch after Sunday morning. They go to lunch. And Stanley Lockhart has preached, and he didn't ask for any response, but he's going to get it anyway. But it happens at the lunch table. What do you think about that? He said this. Do you really think that's the way it is? Well, I don't know. I never had thought about it that way. I don't think so. Well, I do. And there's a small group. You go to official fellowship groups or official discipleship, brothers keepers group, whatever. You're going to have a small group. You're going to have a social situation. You have small groups. Someone said, well, I don't have things like that. When I invite folks to my house, I have 35 people at once and there's no small group stuff. Who are we kidding? If you have 35, I guarantee they'll break into small groups immediately. Why? Because you can't put 35 people in a small group very well. And so these are eating in here and these are eating in here. Or if you get them all together and you're not eating and you're just visiting, they'll start clumping up and going here and going there. Next thing you know, they're in all the rooms of the house or in different corners of the room, and they're having a small group experience. So, wash your mind clean that you have a decision about small groups. There is no decision. The most lecture-oriented, preacher-oriented, big group church there is in the Brotherhood has small groups. They just may not be formal, but they've got them. Second thing I'm going to tell you is, but if you don't have a choice of if, you do have a choice of how. How do you have small groups? Two ways. There is an unhealthy way to have small groups. I am probably the biggest proponent of good small groups and the most vicious enemy of bad small groups that you know, because I know the power of a group. What is an unhealthy group? An unhealthy group is one that is not bound by text of Scripture, our truth, our reality, our kindness, or any other good virtue. It's a gripe session. Lots of young adults get together and they say, we're going to have a Bible study over at my house. And we just have a wonderful time. It's the most wonderful Bible study. And the more Bible studies they have, the more trouble there is in the church. What's wrong? Well, they're not really having a small group experience based on anything good. It's a gripe session. It's a vent session. Well, what do you think about the preacher? Well, I don't care much for him myself. How do you feel? Well, I don't feel too strong about him myself. Well, what do you think about him? Well, he kind of liked the sermons he preaches, but he's afraid to say that because everybody else is voting the other way. And those things turn negative. Now, they turn negative because they're improperly led. That's the key.